We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
So tonight is going to be awesome. So I hope you guys came hungry for the things of God. I hope you're ready for a touch from heaven. If you need a miracle, whatever you need, divine direction, whatever you need from God, I hope you came expecting, because it's all on the table tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to be sharing with you briefly. I say briefly, but I never really know what that means. I'm intending to share with you guys briefly tonight, but we'll just see how long briefly goes for. But actually, before I even get into sharing, I heard that somebody that is here tonight was walking through a parking lot, and they saw one of our flyers laying on the ground that said, "Imagine meeting God." Who is that? That's you? Oh my gosh. That is so cool. You know, I actually had to almost like rebuke myself a little bit, because I remember walking around the parking lot picking our flyers up off the ground. It was windy on one of the days, and I was thinking, I don't want anyone to think we're littering. But apparently a flyer on the ground still got someone here, so praise Jesus. Thank you for coming tonight. That's awesome. You know, we prayed over those flyers every time when we went out. We're just, thank you, Jesus, that your anointing is on these flyers, that when people pick them up or see them, that your anointing will draw them here to the church, because, you know, our intentions are to impact this region with the gospel, amen, to see as many people touched and changed by the power and the presence of God. Hallelujah. And it's happening. I mean, look around tonight. This is awesome. Believe it or not, but like 2 years ago, we started preaching, and there was just a handful of people. Sometimes I'd be preaching just to my parents and my wife and maybe one other person. So it's totally awesome to see God growing this move here and seeing people hungry. I mean, hallelujah, yeah. Coming out on a Sunday night, you guys were all at church this morning and coming back tonight. So it's just really awesome to see hungry hearts here this evening. You know, I'm going to start by sharing out a bit of, since there are some new people here tonight, and maybe some of you guys that have heard this story before, it'll be good to hear it again, but I'm going to be sharing some testimonies, basically, of how we ended up here tonight, where we are, what we've gone through, and I believe that it's going to build faith in your lives. You build faith in your lives to do something big for the kingdom of God. I think very often when we think about going into ministry, or maybe even, you know, just stepping out into business or stepping out into a new job career or doing something that's different than what we're used to, that we feel like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? And I'm going to, by the end of tonight, when I get done sharing, I believe that you're going to receive faith to do whatever it is that God has called you to do, because it's God who gives you the strength and it's God who makes you able to do whatever it is that He calls you to do. Hallelujah. So turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 10. Philippians 4 and verse 10. I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "I was made very happy in the Lord that now you have revived your interest in my welfare after so long a time. You were indeed thinking of me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances, and I also know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances that the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." Say that with me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Amen. So my wife and I, we moved up here. We got married. We were both working jobs. And I knew graduating Bible school that God had put a desire in my heart to start the church up here. I had taken a job and I was working. And my goal was, after 1 year of being married, that we were going to start the church. And, well, that was quite a daunting thing as I'm going to share with you tonight, you'll see. So we were both working jobs where we weren't making millions of dollars, but we were getting paid well enough, and we were living very comfortably for ourselves. And sometimes that can be the worst thing for a person, when you're in that comfortable stage and you know that God has called you to do something different. I'm not saying that you can't be comfortable. God wants you to live a good, comfortable life, all right? Otherwise, he wouldn't say in 3 John 2, "Beloved, I desire that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers." But if you're called to do something and you get in this stage where you're like, I'm not sure if I can do that because I'm comfortable with where I'm at, it begins to become difficult to take a huge step of faith. And that is exactly what I needed to do with my wife. And so we knew, we kept talking about starting the church, and 1 year went by and we still hadn't started the church and we're still working our jobs. And my wife said, very politely, of course, "Jeremiah, we're called into ministry. We know we're supposed to start the church. We need to make a deadline, quit our jobs, and then start the church," which was a really radical thing for us at the time, because we didn't have monthly supporters. We didn't have people saying we were going to back you and finance you when you quit your job and your income goes from this much to absolute zero. We just knew that God had put this desire on our heart to start something, and we were going to believe that God was going to continue in that. And so, really, that scripture where I just read about Paul saying, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound," feels like my first 2.5 years in ministry, because that's exactly what's happened to me. There's been times where we've had little to nothing to times where we've had more than enough and over the top. And the key to it all, he said, the secret is that we get our strength through Christ, that I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And as we learn to depend on him, on what he has done for us and what he has given us through the power of his word, through the power of the cross, through him being our intercessor, and learning what we have through Christ, we can become self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. So I remember we're starting the church and it was August. I quit my job. I made the deadline, and here we go. We're starting the church, right? Wrong. I quit my job. And as soon as after I quit my job, I started thinking, wait a second, what am I going to do now about finances? I mean, how am I going to, you know, get money? So I start thinking about all these different ways. I'm like, I know what I'll do. I'll get into real estate. So I start thinking about all these different real estate opportunities that I can do. I was looking at, which if you're into real estate, I mean, it's a great thing to get into. I mean, if you can do that. And so here I go, start, you know, planning on buying properties and, you know, renting them out or flipping them or different things. And I was thinking I could use that and then eventually, start the ministry again. I was basically working myself out of my own plan. So my wife had kicked me out of the boat once, and thankfully she kicked me out of the boat again. She knew that we needed to go down to Tampa, Florida for a conference. So we went down there, and we were down there. Pastor Rodney, I remember him asking us, "When are you going to start the church?" And this was in October. And he asked, like, in the church down there, there were several hundred people there. We're sitting a few rows back. He's on the pulpit, and he goes, "When are you starting the church?" And he looks directly at me, and I'm like, "When we get back." So that's exactly what we did. We got back that week, and that week we started the church. And so, I mean, there were some things that God needed to do in my personal life, and I've shared that here before, but I don't have time to share with you tonight. But when we made that decision that we were going to step out and do that when we got back, we knew, we made a concrete decision that, I mean, God had just supercharged us in that conference, filled us full of faith, and filled us full of God's power to do what God called us to do, just like he's going to do in your life tonight. When we made that decision, we came back and we didn't have a building to preach in. We just knew somehow, some way, this is going to work. We set the start date for a week from when we got back. When we got back, I don't know how this person had heard it, but it was someone that lived in our apartment complex. There was a community building that was there, and I didn't know anything about it. I had never been in it, but They just walked up to me as I was going to my car. As I've said, I had told this person before that we were considering starting a Bible study at some point, but he just walks up to me and he said, "Hey, you know, I don't know if you were still thinking of starting something, but if you want, you guys can use that building over there totally free." Which, when you quit both your jobs, how many of you know that totally free sounds kind of nice? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, that was great. So totally free, we moved into our first building, Community Center. I mean, humble beginnings. I have a picture of me with this sign that I had made. It was a sandwich board sign that said the River Church on it. I mean, you know, if you guys have driven by our sign out there, it's a beautiful sign. We absolutely love it. But when we started out, it was me like painting the sandwich board sign that just said the River Church. It looked awful. I mean, I'll have to show you guys the picture sometime. So anyway, that sign was a blessing and a curse in some ways. It was a blessing because it brought in a couple of people that came to the church and they gave their lives to God and I prayed for them. It was a curse because the code enforcer drove by, saw that there's a church there that's not allowed to be in the building because it wasn't zoned for a church. So they came by and they said, "All right, you cannot have a church." Well, I mean, it went on for about a week or so because I said, "Well, please define church." And they said, "Well, you know, I said, am I allowed to read the Bible in that building?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Can we sing songs?" "Yes." "Can we pray for people?" "Yes." I was like, "All right, great. We're just going to have a Bible study then," because they said we can have that. So we called it a Bible study. Well, they were creeping on our Facebook and eventually realized, well, they still are having church to them. And so they said, "No, you guys have to get out of there." So we were in there for about 2 months, and then we got kicked out of that place, and we moved into a new community building that we found in the area, where it was really tough for us because we had no exposure. We didn't have a sign. There was no way to advertise. It was just in this back room in this area, and there was probably about, I mean, I remember some of the Sundays, there was probably about 200 kids playing basketball every Sunday. I'm sitting here trying to preach. It was an old yoga room. There's yoga balls everywhere. Kids screaming in the lobby. It was an interesting start for those of you that stuck with us from the very beginning. I'm so proud of you. I don't know how you managed to do it. But anyway, so we were there, and here's what happened. We were 2 months in. Like I said, what was our official start date? It was November 9th, right? November 9th. So we weren't even actually like fully 2 months yet. And we had planned this Christmas service that we were going to have a Christmas. Actually, this was before we moved into the new building, right? So rewind, we're back in the old building, okay? But I did want to tell you this first. So we're in this building that we were using in an apartment complex. And we wanted to do a big Christmas service event, so we invited tons of people, of course. There's usually two times that people like to go to church every year, Christmas and Easter. So we have all these people that tell us they're coming to our Christmas service, which is great. We're looking forward to it. Christmas Sunday morning, like, I don't remember if it was 3 or 4 a.m., but we got a phone call. Who's up that early on Christmas Sunday calling people? But the message was, "Hey, I know we told you guys that you guys could use that building, but you can't." My wife and I wake Julie up, and I'm like, "You're not going to believe what just happened." I'm telling you, we've learned how to live both abase and abound, okay? So when things are going over the top, you have so much provision that you're looking for people that you can bless with it, and then to the times where you're like, "I don't know how we're going to have church today," because we didn't have a building. So we look at each other and we're like, "You know what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, we're going to thank God that we're going to have that building by the time we wake up in the morning, and then we're going to go have church." That's what we did. We woke up in the morning, and they called back, and they said, "Hey, we're sorry that we told you that you guys can use the building." It was, I mean, I don't know what it was. I believe maybe it was a test of our faith to see like how committed we were to this thing. But the door opened back up and we had our church service and it was awesome. All right. Hallelujah. It was so good. I mean, but it, you know, when things like that happen, the natural temptation is to give up, to get down on yourself and be like, "Crud, we failed. What are we going to do now?" And just give up. Call everyone. "Hey, let everyone know church service is canceled today. No Christmas Sunday. We'll do it next week." But we just believed God that somehow that it was going to come through, and he absolutely came through for us. So that was number one, all right? And so then we get into this new building. A few months later, Easter is coming up, and we have a big Easter Sunday event planned at that location. And we're like, getting so excited because, once again, Christmas and Easter, those are the big Sundays typically in church. So we put all these flyers out, invited people from all over the community. We're doing giveaways. It was Thursday of the week, so just three whatever days before church, and we get a phone call. Hey, we forgot to, I had cleared it with the people that run the place. I had made sure that it was going to be available and open. We'd learned our lesson, right? So I had cleared it, and they call us on, I think it was actually Friday afternoon, and they said, oh, by the way, we forgot that we're actually closed down Easter Sunday. And we're just like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And we just looked at each other and we're like, we know that God is going to open up another door. Now, we had previously been, as I said, kicked out of the old building because of code enforcers. We're no longer allowed to have church in there. All right. But we just felt like, you know what, let's just call back our apartment complex and just see if they'll let us be in there Easter Sunday. We call them up and the door opened back up. So I'm telling you that you can never give up. You might be in a place where you feel like you're running up against the wall, that nothing seems to work. I mean, I literally drove around that Friday and Saturday before Easter Sunday to every single available place of real estate in Brockport looking desperately for a place until finally God gave us the plan to just call back that old place. And God opened the door for that. So the thing is, you have to continually know that God is going to provide a way for you. So that was our first building, Christmas Sunday, Easter Sunday. Around the time of Easter Sunday, I mean, you know, ministry sounds great, right? I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's been an adventure. I mean, I love it. It's sometimes like riding a roller coaster, okay? You're like totally terrified, but then you're going down and it feels awesome, and then you're going back up. And anyway, God will always give you a way to move forward, a way to advance. The thing is making sure you don't jump ship halfway through the ride, okay? You have to stay on the roller coaster and trust that it's going to get you to the end, all right? So God will always bring you through as long as you trust him. Actually, I want to read another scripture real quick on that point. It's in James chapter 1, and then I'm going to get back to my story. That reminded me that I wanted to read this. James chapter 1. Verses, I think we're going to start in 6. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, we were preaching prosperity while we're going through all that stuff. We're going through the point of where we're running out of money. We're going through the point of where we don't have a church building available for the major Sundays that we needed. We were going through getting kicked out of this place. But guess what? We knew that we had to just keep moving forward. We were preaching Sunday after Sunday about faith, about prosperity. Here I am, you know, in the natural, things might look like they're going the absolute wrong direction. And yet we get up on Sunday and we're preaching faith, preaching healing, preaching that God has a plan for your life, preaching that you don't have to live a sad, miserable life, but that God wants you to live a life of abundance. That no matter what things might look like, God has a good plan for your life. God wants to move you forward in his kingdom. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, sometimes we were trying to figure out, how are we going to make it through this week? We don't have a building for next Sunday. How are we going to make it through this Sunday? We don't have a place to put all these people. But I'm telling you that as you move forward with God, he is always going to give you a way. And that's the secret that he said is trusting on Christ, because it's Christ's sufficiency that through that we become self-sufficient. So that no matter what God has called me to do, it's not my strength that I need to depend on, but it's Christ's strength. That I might not know the way, but he knows the way. And for you guys, it might not be ministry that you're looking into, but you might have a relationship that you're trying to figure out. You might have a job that you're trying to figure out. You might be trying to figure out your life right now. I'm telling you that as you put your strength in Christ, as you learn to depend on him and on the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's going to come and give you the way through, the way to advance. He is always faithful to do that. Amen? Amen. All right, where was I in my story? Easter, we're running out of money, right? So Pastor Julie and I, we quit. we we quit our jobs, all right? And we start, you know, we had saved up somewhere around in the neighborhood of $10,000 before we quit our jobs. Look, I'm not telling you that when you go into ministry that you can't have some common sense, all right? I sometimes feel like everyone that feels like they go into the ministry, they have to start with absolutely nothing and not use their brain and then just beg people for money to be in ministry. You can use your brain when you go into ministry. So we actually saved up money prior to starting the ministry, and we were able to live on that ministry or on that money while we were in ministry for, I believe it was 9 months without taking any salary from what came into the church. We never took a penny for the first 9 months, but we lived off of that for a while. And then what happened was around Easter, we were running out of money. We weren't going to have enough money to pay rent that month. And Julie and I, we were sitting, what was the restaurant? Applebee's, of course, Applebee's. And I think they had like a 2-for-20 special. And, you know, I'm like praising God because, you know, I can afford to take my wife to a 2-for-20 special. All right. If anyone knows my wife, when she sees something that she wants, she doesn't really care how much it costs. She wants it. So we get there. And of course, what she wants isn't on the 2-for-20 menu. So we go into this discussion. I use the word discussion lightly. It's more like a heated debate where some tears were shed. Because here we are, we're called into ministry, we're doing what God's called us to do, and yet we don't have enough money to be able to comfortably order something more than $20 on the menu. I want to be the man of God to take care of my wife and my family, and yet here I am trying to figure out how we're going to manage to afford $25 for a nice dinner. That's where we were at. And so I'm telling you, when Paul says, I learned how to live abase and I learned how to abound, we've truly gone through that, and through all of it, even through those rough moments. We left that restaurant kind of like, oh my gosh, that was one of the most miserable experiences of our life. But it was just shortly after that where we were at a wedding, and we had a few $100 left into our account. And really, I did have the money to pay for $25 or $30, whatever it was, but I'm German and I was a bit of a tightwad, all right? So thank Jesus that he delivered me from that, all right? My wife, thankfully, she agrees. Hallelujah. Okay, all right, so, goodness, you can stick around. Okay, so we did have a few $100, but I didn't want to order more than we needed to because we still had to pay rent that month. We still had to buy groceries, pay the electric bill, do the things that we needed to do. And so by the time the end of that month came around, we had enough to get through that month, but we weren't going to be, and this was sometime around April or something, we weren't going to be able to make it through another month unless somehow God came through. So we're running on a few $100, we're at a friend's wedding, and God put on my heart, as stupid as this sounds, to give the couple that was getting married $200, which to you guys, maybe $200 is a drop in the bucket. Maybe it's a lot for you. For me, it was a ton because I'm already not able to provide properly for my family. And here we are going to give $200 to this couple. And it doesn't seem right because I'm like, God, I need this $200. Why? They should be giving me $200, right? I mean, I'm a minister, I'm a pastor. These guys haven't even done anything. They were wanting to go into ministry. I'm like, these guys are just newbies, and yet here we are in ministry, chugging along. We're barely scraping by. Why aren't they writing me the check for like $5,000? Well, so the thing is, I knew clear as day that the Lord was speaking to me, and I really like what Brother Troy was sharing today about being led by the Holy Spirit when in your giving, because the Holy Spirit directed me to do that. So I wrote out the check for $200 and gave it to them rejoicing because I knew that meant harvest was coming on my way. So when you give led according to the Spirit of God as he prompts you to give, like he said, the tithe for me has never been questionable, but when you're giving above and beyond that as a seed, I knew that seed was planted and going to bring back a harvest. I don't think it was but a few days later when someone called me up and said, hey, we want to have lunch with you and your wife. It was someone that I don't think up to that point had ever done that for both my wife and I. And so they called us up, had us over for lunch. We ate, and then we were just hanging out around at the house, and all of a sudden they walk up and they gave us an envelope, and it was a thick envelope. That's usually a good sign. You know, when an envelope's thick, you know, and you're like, all right, I know what I need, and this could be it. Let's see what's inside. We opened it up, and there was $5,100 bills in there, $5,000. The Lord totally came through for us. I'm telling you, we were at the point of where we're like, God, we want to give up. I mean, we went through those moments of like, how is this going to work? Maybe we made a mistake by launching out. Maybe we did this too soon. Maybe this wasn't the right place. Maybe it wasn't the right time. And maybe there's been times in your life where you're thinking the same thoughts, and the enemy, he comes to bombard your mind and tell you you're not doing the right thing. You're not in the right place. You're doing it all wrong because it looks like you're failing. But God has a plan to bring you through and to bring you forward. And as you depend on Christ, as you depend on Jesus and what he did for you, it says that through him we become self-sufficient. That means by just having Christ in my life and by doing what he wants me to do, I am self-sufficient. I don't need a bank. I don't need a great company to work for. I don't need anything. I'm absolutely self-sufficient in what Jesus has done for me. You're like a walking ATM machine. You might not have it in your hand, but through Christ, he's able to get you whatever it is you need. But you have to sometimes take scary steps of obedience where you're like, I don't really know how this is going to work out. It looks totally stupid. It makes no sense. Quitting my job, starting a church without a building. And it just, in the natural, everything is telling your mind, you're stupid. You're an idiot. What are you doing? You're going to fail. And you just learn to stand on the word, like the word that I just read from James, with faith without wavering. If you ask God with wavering, you'll receive nothing. But if you stand in faith and know that you're doing what God has called you to do, that when you ask God, you know that he's going to come through for you. He wants to come through for you. Some of you might have maybe questioned God in your life and said, well, why didn't you come through for me there? What was your attitude? You know, that's the only thing that we can actually control. When those situations come up, if we accept failure and say, yeah, I'm just going to give up. I don't know how we're going to make it. Let's just call it quits. God wouldn't have come through for me. But we were preaching to ourselves week after week, standing on the word, saying, I don't know how we're going to get through this situation, but I'm going to be obedient to do what God's called me to do, and I know that somehow he's going to come through for me. So that was going from $0 to $5,000. We even were able to go on vacation and do what we needed to do, and it got us through all the way up to the point of when our church was finally able to give us somewhat of a salary that we were able to then start providing for ourselves through the church, which has been a huge blessing. And so then we're in the community building still, the second community building that we're in. All of a sudden they tell us, by the way, come the end of April, we aren't going to be able to be in May. Come the end of May, you're not going to be able to be in here Sundays anymore. And we're just like, oh, so that means we're looking for a church building again, okay? So we're back to running all over the place, looking all over, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm driving down Ridge Road, come around this corner here. There was a church that used to be in here. I don't know if it's the right word for it, but it was a group of people that didn't exactly believe in Jesus, and they were in here, and they were using this place. And so I was coming around the corner, and I really felt the Lord putting on my heart, pull into that parking lot. So I pull into the parking lot. I see the church sign, and I'm like, okay, God, why would you have me pull into a church parking lot that clearly has a church? So I pull in there. I get the information, and I leave. We had that was right after we had gotten the money for our vacation. So we went on vacation. I think we were gone 2.5 weeks. We missed 2 Sundays. And it was took us all the way up to the last week of April when we got back from vacation. So we came back. We had 1 Sunday that we preached in the community building. And then we needed to be out of there into a new place. And so as that Sunday after church, I was talking with someone, and they actually mentioned this building. And I remembered right before our vacation, I had stopped in this building and got the information. I'm like, oh yeah, let me find out about that place, why the Lord had me stop there. So that next Monday, the day after, we call the people that own this church, and we're like, hey, I said, look, this might seem weird because I know that there's a church already in this building, but we're a new church in the area and we're looking for a place. And they said, actually, they're actually in the process of moving out, and they have to be out by this Sunday, the very Sunday that we needed to be in a new building. So I believe, if I remember right, that we actually, when I was in, sometimes you start out in the flesh and you end up in the spirit. I started out in the flesh where I'm driving around in a panic all over Brockport, all over the area trying to find a building. And finally, when I was able to give up on my own ability and just say, God, please help. You know, sometimes we try and figure it out ourselves. But then when you learn, hey, it's got to be God. And he's the one that's going to bring us through. That's when I finally came into this parking lot, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's when I call them and they tell us, yeah, you can come down to the church right now. We'll meet you there. We'll show you the building. And when we pulled in here, they showed us the building. The previous people were literally closing the door as they were pulling the last stuff out. We signed the lease, moved in, and we've been in here ever since. So I'm telling you guys that it might seem like you might be in a base situation where you feel like, God, where's that provision that Pastor Jeremiah is always talking about? But I'm telling you that as you advance, as you move forward in what God has called you to do, as you're obedient to listen to the Holy Spirit, as you sow seed when it's not always an easy time to sow seed, but as you do what God calls you to do, he is going to bring you through. He is your strength. He is your sufficiency. You can't lean on your own strength or your own understanding. Just say, God, I know you have a plan. Show me the plan. And I've just learned from these situations that God is going to bring me through. And now I'm thankful that after a few years of starting, that from the place we are today, it's so much better than where we were a few years ago. Amen. And you're going to look at your life. This week, I believe for many of you, is the start of that, where you're going to be like, something happened to me that week at an Encounter God conference where God just redirected my life and he just set me on a course. You made some adjustments in your life and all of a sudden things just begin to click. Where before it seemed like no matter what, everything that you did in the natural seemed to fail, but now God has always been on your side, but you just learned how to work with God. From this week forward, you're going to learn how to work with God and depend on Jesus as your supplier. Because actually, going back real quick, and then I'm going to close to this last scripture. You see, Paul had been talking to this church that had been giving to them, had given to Paul and his ministry. And he was exhorting them, encouraging them, saying that when nobody else was willing to give, you guys were there giving to me. You guys were providing for me. Even when it wasn't necessarily easy, they were his first monthly supporters, if you will. They were the ones that were there even when he wasn't in their church. It's not like they could just wire him $100. It's not like they could just, you know, they probably didn't even have carrier pigeons back then. I'm not sure how, but they used some way to get the finances, to get the gifts to him, so much so that he even said that I have your gifts and I am provided for more than enough. So I'm not... People often use that scripture, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, as a reason to stay in poverty. They use that to say, yeah, but Paul said he learned how to be content in all circumstances, so we should just learn how to be poor. That is not at all the message, because he didn't stay poor. Right after he said, I learned how to be content, and gave the secret of how to get out of being poor. He learned to depend on Jesus, that even when I'm in that poor state, that God has a plan to get me out of there. And then he says that through your giving, now I have received more than enough, so much so that I can be a blessing to other people, which is God's intention with prosperity, to prosper you to the point of overflowing so that you can begin to bless other people. Amen? Hallelujah. So right after he gets done ending this exhortation of encouragement to them and thanking them, he says this in verse 19, and my God, say my God, will liberally, say liberally, supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's his riches and glory in Christ Jesus that's able to supply us to the full, to overflowing, to meet every single need that we have. He was writing that to a church that had been so generous to him that they were writing offerings, sending offerings when he was in another country. He wasn't even near them. They were like, we're going to figure out how to get this offering to you though. When that begins to come to your heart, where you're willing to give when even it's uncomfortable, Paul was able to learn how to live both abased and abound, with little and more than enough. And I promise you, even if you're in a situation where you feel like I'm in the abased, you're not going to stay there. God's going to move you forward. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.